today on Building on the Solid Rock with Pastor Troy Neely.
They want to bring the evidence and answer every question he brings up, and they're gifted, they're called, they're very educated to do this. And the people out there are given good evidence. So that's the purpose of those debates. But you and I on the street, we're not called to go out and debate. It's the gospel, it's truth. If they don't want it, they don't want it. Jesus said in Matthew 7, don't give what is holy to the dogs, nor cast your pearls before swine. And here was his reason. Because they may trample them, the goods, the pearls, and turn and tear you to pieces.
Deeper and deeper.
If you're out there in the world sharing the good news with people, some will reject it. When you see that hostility towards the gospel, you know you don't want to carry that with you. Today, we'll hear about how Jesus said to the disciples to shake the dust off their feet and understand how we should shake off that rejection and carry on. Now, make sure and stay with us after Pastor Troy's message. I want to share our contact information with you, as well as how you can receive a free copy of today's broadcast. Now open your Bibles to the Gospel of Matthew chapter 10, verse 11, as we join Pastor Troy for our continuing study entitled, When Preaching, Use Words.
And Jesus would later say that a prophet is not without honor except in his own hometown. Sometimes those closest to you won't listen to you. It's just the way it is. So they were to go out and they were to preach the message that the Messiah was here. And it was a message for that nation of Israel. But they were to do more than just preach. They were also going to reach out, touch. It says, heal the sick, cleanse lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons, all without charging, by the way. Freely you receive, freely give. God blesses you. God is the one doing that work through you. So don't go and set up your little tent, charge money for entrances, and say, if you got $50, you can get your healing today. Don't go have a little fee for service chart and charge people. And here's why. Because those things aren't the ministry. Those signs that we talked about, they're not the ministry. The ministry is the gospel. Those signs, they were simply to authenticate, give authority or power to the message, to the messenger, to show that the message is true and has God's stamp of approval. In other words, the activity isn't the message. The activity supports the authority of the message. The message is still the main thing. In Luke chapter 10, after 70 are sent out, the disciples are growing. Jesus is still sending them out on little missions now, trying to prepare them. They come back rejoicing because they did do these miracles and they cast out demons. And they come back and they go, it's awesome. Even the demons are subject to our name. This is great ministry. And Jesus says to them, look, don't rejoice that the demons are subject to your name. Don't rejoice over those things. He said, rather rejoice that your names are written in heaven. That's the point. Your names are written in heaven. Keep that as the center. And that's what you need to go out and minister to the others, that they need to be written in heaven. But too often, we make the signs the most important thing. Sometimes people are following signs. I want the emotional experience. I want these things that should be attached to it. Or the work. Let's just do the work. Don't say anything. Just do the work. It's all about the work. You know, there are some, they'll say, and I've even said this, and I've had to repent since I've been doing this study, but they say, I preach everywhere I go, and if necessary, I use words. Now, I've said that, and it sounds nice and deep, but as I've been studying and looking at the text, I realized it may be very deep. It may impress people. Go, wow, that's something else. But it's not theologically accurate. You see, It's always necessary to use words. Always. Jesus says here, preach this message. They need to get this message. Now, you and I, we cannot assume that just because you're a Christian, I'm a Christian, you got the shirt and everything, and you do some good works, you're at the service line, handing out water, how are you doing? How are you? God bless you. God bless you. That is going to be enough, that someone is going to take this, okay, Christian, handing out food. You know what? All of a sudden I realized I'm a sinner in need of a Savior. Jesus Christ came from heaven, came down, died on the cross for my sins, rose again, is the right hand of the Father, and He is here for me. They're not going to get that. They need the message. We must speak. You can't assume that people are just going to get it because you're a Christian doing good things. There are lots of organizations doing good things. Some are doing it to spite you. They're doing it saying Christians aren't the only ones who have humanitarian efforts. Christians aren't the only ones who do good things. And the Christians are going, we're the only ones who do good things. I don't have to preach. I just have to let my light so shine. And they're not getting the message, guys. We're called to speak. The good works that we do, the life that we live, the things that we do, the miraculous signs that happen as a result, like a transformed heart is certainly a miraculous sign. Those things authenticate the message. If your life is a mess, there's no power in your gospel when you preach it. When you share the message and your life is a mess, no one really cares about that gospel. But when they see power, signs, your life is different. There's something about you. Your family's in order. Your finances. You went from a mess to this. How did you do it? You go, let me tell you. And that brings power and authority then to your message. But you must have a message. You can't just do the things. It's always necessary. And then he says to speak, to share. And then Jesus says in verse 9 and 10, provide neither gold nor silver nor copper in your money belts, nor bag for your journey, nor two tunics, nor sandals, nor staffs, for a worker is worthy of his food. In other words, travel light. You're not going on a vacation. You see some, and they go on missionary trips, and they're like, are we going to go shopping? Are we going to do these things? Are we going to see some of the land? We're just going on a mission trip? We're just going to work? Look, Jesus is sending them into the world to be a light. This is work. We're going to find out. Like I said, it gets very serious in its tone. But he's saying, don't take extra shoes or clothing, because the last thing that you need to do is wake up each morning going, oh, should I wear the brown sandals today or the black sandals? I really want to represent the Lord well today. He says, don't do that. Don't bring that stuff. Don't let that be rattling around in your brain. Don't bring the extra cash, because you're not on a tourist trip. You're on a mission. So you're not going to stop at every little town and go in and buy the little trinkets to take back to all your family. He says, look, this is life. This is your life. So go light, travel light. Now, remember, he's teaching them to focus and depend. He's giving them some basic training for real life for the disciples. So don't go out and think that this now is the way that every minister should live. Don't take this and go, you go and you drop off your friend who's going on a missionary trip. You find out they have a backpack or a suitcase. Go, oh, not really trusting Jesus, huh? See, you're taking some stuff. I bet you got some granola in there, some extra foods. Worker's worthy of his wages. Trust the Lord. That's not what Jesus is saying. He's training them, teaching them to trust him. In fact, it won't always be like this. In Luke chapter 22, Jesus will say, speaking of this time, when I sent you out, did you lack anything? And the answer is no, we didn't lack anything. He says to them, but now, Let him who has money bag take it. And if you don't have a sword, buy one. And his message is this. Start taking provisions now. Start taking the things that you need. Take the protection and you go for it. And minister. But what he's doing here is he's teaching them to trust him. Some of us could use a little basic training when it comes to trust. Trusting God. We only trust him as far as I can see. I still have some savings. Still got some savings. You trust the Lord? Sure do. Got some savings. But the closer that savings starts to empty, the more God causes us to lean heavier on him, the more fearful we are, the more our faith is challenged. But we are called to trust in him. In verse 11, now whatever city or town you enter, inquire who in it is worthy and stay there till you go out. It's kind of like saying, you know, find out, hey, who's a noble person? Who's a good character in this town? Go there. If you go there and you find out, ouch, there is no character in this town, then you know it's time to move on. But find out where the open doors will be for ministry. And when you go into a household, greet it. If the household is worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it is not worthy, let your peace return to you. And whoever will not receive you nor hear your words when you depart from that house or city, shake off the dust from your feet. Assuredly, I say to you, it will be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. This is major rejection here. To reject Christ, to reject the Messiah, and to reject Christ is to reject eternal life, real life. And so he's teaching them to use discernment. When you go into a place to minister, don't kick the doors down. Find out where the open doors for ministry are. If the people will listen, spend time with them. Don't hop from place to place either. Spend time with them. Let them get to know you so that there's a chance for them to realize that your ministry is genuine. Because it's easy for any of us to go and hop from place to place and preach the gospel. But it's when people really get to know your life that your words are either authenticated and given power or they're neutralized. Oh man, that message you had was great, but the life you live, I don't know. It's totally neutralized. So let them get to know you. Spend some time first. Up front, it's easy to put on a good face, but it takes time. So he says, don't hop from house to house and don't push the message on them. We should never push the message on others. This is a free gift. It's not mandatory. It's mandatory if you want to go to heaven instead of hell, but you don't have to take it. So we don't push it and force it on people. Jesus says, if they won't hear you, shake the dust off of your feet from that town. In other words, distance yourself from them. Put it behind you and move on. The rabbis would do this. They would literally shake the dust from their feet whenever they would walk through Gentile towns, non-Jewish towns, and especially Samaritan towns, crossbreeds. They would, after they would get to the end of the town, they would shake off the dust, all of it, from their feet. And then they would carry on. And the image is this, or the picture, the message from it is this. It's a symbol of separation and judgment. Separation in the sense that I am set apart for God, and even the dust from this place defiles. So I'm shaking it from me. I don't want any of it on me. And then it's a symbol of judgment in the sense that I am going to God's city. One of the tabernacle, everywhere the tabernacle is, God's safe place. And even the dust from this place is not permitted to go there. I'm going to shake it off. Both of those are true. The world defiles. When we're in the world, when we're too close to the world, when we're hanging with them, there are times then we need to shake it off. The influence of the world is strong. The influence of the media, movies, and certain things are very strong. I mean, some of the things that we don't want to teach our children, you set them in front of a little video for an hour to babysit them, And they come back having learned some of the very things you never wanted to teach them, if you're not careful. They start to ask questions that maybe they shouldn't be asking yet because, oh, in that movie there was a certain scene that they were kissing and doing all these things, and they start to ask about things. Where'd you get that from? Well, Mom and Dad, you're pouring it into me. I see it. And so we need to shake the dust off because the world is very influential. We get callous. We don't even see things. You know, as you grow as a Christian and you distance yourself from some of the videos or even the music you used to listen to, and you go back and you start to listen with new ears, kind of purified. You go back and you watch that movie. I remember for me, it was like Grease. I used to love Grease and Grease 2 musical. You know, I love that stuff. And I went back and I was like, yeah, I should watch this. You know, check it out. I haven't seen this in years and years. And put it in. And the whole thing is horrible. I'm like, what? I didn't see all that before. I mean, it's constantly talking sexual stuff and innuendo. And I'm like, I didn't see that? No, my aunt. I won't tell you which one. I've already given too much information. A family member of mine dropped me off at the movies a few times and let me go watch it because they had a friend who was a manager of the theater, and they let us come and watch the movies. So we'd go and we'd watch Grease over and over and over. I'm like 12. I'm like, what's going on in the world? I want to be a little more discerning as a Christian. We need to shake the dust. We need to be very careful because judgment is coming. And I don't want my children tempted so much that they get close to the edge where they fall onto the side of judgment rather than God's grace. So we need to be sensitive to the Spirit, sensitive to leading the Lord. So we don't get ourselves into trouble and we don't get ourselves into arguments. We're not called to argue people into heaven. You cannot argue or reason any person into heaven. We're not called to debate people. Now, yes, there are debates and people are defending the faith. And I think they're called, they're gifted. They're not trying to evangelize at that point, at least not the person they're debating. They want to bring the evidence and answer every question he brings up. And they're gifted, they're called, they're very educated to do this. And the people out there are given good evidence. So that's the purpose of those debates. But you and I on the street, we're not called to go out and debate. It's the gospel. It's truth. If they don't want it, they don't want it. Jesus said in Matthew 7, don't give what is holy to the dogs, nor cast your pearls before swine. And here was his reason. Because they may trample them, the goods, the pearls, and turn and tear you to pieces. A lot of Christians end up looking bad because they tried to get into an argument that God never supported. And all you do is you either lose your temper, you're human just like them, and you don't look good. It doesn't represent Christ well, and he's not called us to do that. The only thing that you can do is try to push it too hard and misrepresent the gospel. We need to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit and let him direct our conversations. We have a great book. It's called Everyday Conversations, Eternal Impact. If you haven't read it, it is a great book, and it gives you some comfort in knowing how to look for those opportunities to minister and when to push a little and when not to. Because you don't have to. Just go as far as they'll let you, and that'll be enough. So, today, Jesus spoke about the who, the what, and the where. And it's going to get very intense. Who do they go to? The lost sheep of the house of Israel. Now you know why they were only sent to them. A good answer for that. What are they going to do? They're going to preach the good news, not just do miraculous signs and heal. That isn't the message. The message is the word. They're to share. They're to say. But these signs will accompany them. What do they say? That the Messiah is here. When you share, you may not feel, and maybe this is what intimidates you about saying. You may feel like you don't know what to say. What if they question and I don't have an answer? If they question and you don't have an answer, go back to your testimony. That was good enough for the blind man. Look, whether this or that, I don't know. All I can tell you is I was blind, now I see. So default back to that. No one knows your testimony in your life better than you. So it's not like they can correct you. Just make sure that your life is in order. Make sure that you are growing, that Jesus is Lord. Also, if you don't know how to share the gospel, if you don't know what it is, you need to dig into the scriptures and find out what it is. Jesus is alive. He will give you the words to say. You don't have to worry about it. You don't have to try to plan and prepare a Bible study because I'm about to go minister to somebody. Just go and He will give you the words to say. Where should you say it? Wherever there's an open door. Don't try to force the door, but where there's an open door, take it. You know, if you keep your mind on the Lord, if your heart is on the Lord, it's like the opportunities are everywhere. You just don't see them. In fact, they are everywhere. We just don't see them because our mind isn't on them. Our heart isn't there. Opportunities pass to share the love of God, to share the grace of God, to share the goodness of God, to share the faithfulness of God, but we don't see them. Everything's going so fast. We're not paying attention. Jesus one time was in the temple with his disciples. And they're seeing the people, they're coming in, they're giving their offerings, and he sees this one woman, and she gives two mites. He said, opportunity. And he shares and he ministers. Here's the life lesson. You see that? Let me tell you about her. Let me tell you what she's doing more than all the others. You may have been impressed with the others, but let me tell you about her and why she impresses me. Jesus was walking with his disciples through the town of Caesarea Philippi. And in Caesarea Philippi, they have this huge cliff. And in that cliff, it's carved out certain little spaces where they would have all these different idols, these different gods with different names. And all the people had different names and different functions for the different gods. And this god does this. And this god is named this. And he does this. And this god is called this. And you pray to him for this. So as you would walk through, you would see this in the town. It was like a highlight, a feature, part of the beauty of the town. You walk by, you see it, and it's right here in Caesarea Philippi. As they're going through Caesarea Philippi, Jesus, always able to take an opportunity and make the most of it, as they might be looking at these gods going, which one is that? Who is that? What's he do? Jesus stops and he says, who do men say that I am? Man, that's a perfect teaching moment. You're wondering about all these gods and what do they do and who put them there. What about me? Who do men say that I am? And then he got really direct with them. He said, who do you say that I am? How about you this morning? Who do you say that he is? Is he Lord? Do you spend time with him each day so that wherever there's an opportunity, you see it? Not that you're going to push it. Not that you're just waiting to pound someone with the gospel. But that you're seizing every opportunity. Yes, with your words. Let your life speak. But let me tell you something. There are opportunities for your life to speak in a moment. But for the most part, this life speaking thing, that's called your lifestyle, your life. You need to be living it. And then that will speak. So that as they know your track record, as they know that you are who you say you are, then when your words come, there's power. And you will be somebody who's a go-to person for them. You know, this guy's a talker. This guy, oh, he's always Jesus this, Jesus that. But man, his life isn't in order. But this guy, I know he's a Christian. He doesn't push it on me. But I know he's a believer. I want to find out from him. That's the kind of person you want to be.
Deeper and deeper. Deeper and deeper, I want to know you more.
Well, that's all the time we have for today here on Building on the Solid Rock with Troy Neely of Calvary Chapel, Solid Rock. Don't forget to join us next time as we continue our verse-by-verse study through the Gospel of Matthew. You can listen to or download any of our messages in their entirety by visiting our website, www.buildingonthesolidrock.com. At our website, we also provide information about our beliefs, service times, as well as directions to our church. If you'd like to get in touch with us, you can simply email your questions or comments to info@buildingonthesolidrock.com. We'd love to hear from you. Again, that email address is info@buildingonthesolidrock.com. If you're in the San Antonio, Texas area and would like to visit us, Calvary Chapel Solid Rock is located at 17018 Silverwood Drive in North Central San Antonio. Thank you for being with us today. Please join us next time as we continue our study through the Gospel of Matthew.
And I wonder why. I wonder why. And I look up and see the hand that I turned from when the storm began, and it covers me.